Namaste. Let's start the session for today. So we're going to be doing one or two topics today, depending on, you know, how long it takes for us to cover the first topic. That's the Karma Yoga topic. Let's start with the prayer. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om. So in the last class, we completed the scriptural infrastructure. The previous class, we had done Purusharthas, and we had also covered the scriptures necessary to achieve the Purusharthas. By Purusharthas, we actually went through Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha Purusharta. And the reason why Dharma is placed ahead of Artha and Kama is because it's the subtlest of the goal, and this goal can really not be seen, and it is not a drishta phalam but adrishta phalam. So somebody had asked me this question, so I thought, you know, it is important for me to clarify. So Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha Purusharthas, we saw these. We also studied about how our scriptures help us achieve all the Purusharthas at the same time. And we also looked at the infrastructure required to achieve all these Purusharthas, which is the Varnashrama scheme for the pursuit of the fourfold human goals. Now, we propose to see the course of disciplines that are required for the accomplishment of these goals. Now, having gone through the spiritual requirements, the infrastructure required for, you know, accomplishing these goals, we know now that we can achieve both spiritual goal as well as material accomplishments, that's Dharma, Artha, Kama, and in accordance with the scriptures, right, without achieving moksha, the human life is incomplete, right? And therefore, the scriptures keep the material accomplishments as incidental goals and the spiritual accomplishment as the ultimate and primary goal of life, right? While we do have the three other goals, that Dharma, Artha, Kama, the primary goal is always moksha for the human being. In fact, that alone gives the sense of fulfillment at the time of death, and minus moksha, the total sense of fulfillment cannot come. Therefore, what will happen is you could have regrets in any of the other three areas. Therefore, the sadhana for us would be to make sure that we work towards moksha, which is the ultimate goal. And any course of discipline that is going to help us achieve this is called a sadhana. Okay? Moving on. Now, yoga is derived from the word yuj, root, right? Yuj, to combine, to unite. Unite what and what? It unites the sadhaka, the seeker, right? And sadhyam, the goal. So sadhana means a course of discipline that we undertake to accomplish a goal. The goal is called sadhyam. To accomplish sadhyam, the goal, we take to a course of discipline, which is nothing but sadhana. Therefore, the scriptures want us to become sadhakas, taking to sadhana for accomplishing the sadhyam. So it is a lifelong journey, and going through the sadhana, we should be able to attain the sadhyam, the goal, and thus become siddha. Siddha in this context does not mean miraculous powers or anything. Siddha is one who is totally at home with himself and who has attained the goal, right? So the fundamentals here are sadhyam, the goal, sadhana, a course of discipline that we undertake to accomplish a goal, sadhakas, when we take to the discipline, we are all called sadhakas, and once we accomplish the sadhyam, we become siddha purushaha, siddhas. sadhaka to siddha is the journey of life. Now, the point to be noted here is we are talking of all the four goals and not just moksha, but the primary aim of the human life is to achieve moksha. Now, what are the steps or sequence, right? We saw that yoga indicates this course of discipline, and there are three levels of sadhana or sadhanam, which is referred to as yoga, right? First one we refer to as karma yoga. Second one we refer to as upasana yoga. And the third one we refer to as jnana yoga. Please bear with me until the next class at least for us to discuss in detail about how bhakti yoga fits into this framework, right? Now, these three are like three steps. We cannot skip any step, but you might be able to do some of these in parallel, but all three are compulsory for a sadhaka. That is very important. These are not alternatives, because there is a very, very popular misconception that you can, you know, use bhakti or upasana or do just seva and get moksha. So that is not possible. Now, if you hold on to your curiosity for this class as well as the next class, we will see why I am saying that all three are required: karma yoga, upasana yoga and jnana yoga. And in and through all of these, we will see how bhakti yoga interfaces and interlaces. Now, karma yoga, let's move on. Karma yoga is proper action with proper attitude, right? Now, karma yoga consists of two words. It's a compound word, right? Karma and yoga. Now, karma yoga is nothing but a discipline, right? And it is proper action with proper attitude. Now, what do we mean by proper action and proper attitude? We will see this in detail, right? Now, all the actions that are possible, right, by us, right, it is based on, categorized based on the spiritual influence only. It is not laukika, right? These actions are categorized into three types: uttama karma, also known as sattvika karma, madhyama karma, right, and adhama karmani, right? Uttama karmani, madhyama karmani, and adhama karmani. Uttama karmani are those which have maximum positive spiritual influence. Madhyama karmani are more material benefits that is going to help the immediate family, etc. We'll see this in detail. Adhama karmani are ones which are negative in their contribution. Spiritually, it will cause retrogression. Instead of progression, it will actually cause spiritual retrogression. So you will go a few steps spiritually backward by indulging in adhama karmani. So therefore, in terms of proper action, we categorize them as uttama karmani, madhyama karmani and adhama karmani. And uttama karmani gives us spiritual progression, right? Now, we have a very famous shloka which says, before we go to the shloka, there is a very famous saying which says, paropakara punyaya papaya parapidanam. Helping others is punyam and hurting others is papam. Also, paropakaraya phalanti vrikshaha, paropakarani vahanti nadyaha, paropakaraya duhanti gavaha, paropakarartam idam shariram. This shloka has been, this is a very famous shloka often quoted to indicate that if you look around yourself in nature, whether it is trees which bear the fruits or rivers which are, you know, there for others to use, and cows giving milk for others, every one of, you know, our other human living being other than the human being seems to be serving mankind or society in some form or the other, right? So this indicates that this body of ours also, the human janma, is also meant to serve others. And at the end of our lifetime, we should have been able to give back to the society and to the fellow human beings as well as the rishis and gods more than what we have derived from them. It is very important. We'll see that as we move along, right? Now, uttama karmani, or what the best form of karma, that is also known as पर उपकार कर्माणी और निष्काम कर्माणी और सात्विक कर्माणी. वी विल बी यूजिंग दीज टर्म्स निष्काम कर्माणी सात्विक कर्माणी वेरी ऑफन. सो इट इज बेटर टू गेट फेमिलियर विद दिस राइट. सो द फर्स्ट वन दट वी आर सीइंग इज उत्तम कर्माणी अदरवाइज नोन एज सात्विक कर्माणी इन द 17th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता एज वेल एज इन द 18th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता Krishna deals with these topics very, very elaborately. Uttama Karmani is also called a Sattvika Karmani, as I told you, right? And there is a verse, right, which says, Shruyatam Dharma Sarvasvam Shrutva Chaiva Vicharyatam Atmana Pratikulani Parishana Samachare. Listen to the essence of all Dharma and then think it over, right? And keep it in your heart. What you consider is ill for others, please do not do the same to others, right? If you do not want to be hurt, do not hurt others. That's the simple meaning of that. And all the punya karmas or noble karmas are meant for elevating ourselves, right? So, for Uttama Karmani, our scriptures prescribe a very beautiful set of yajnas called Pancha Mahayajna. Yajna is best defined as yajna, and I'm sure all of us will be familiar with it, so it is better to leave it as yajna. And there are fivefold yajnas. We will see these in detail, and this is for the welfare of the world that each of our Hindus is supposed to indulge in, mainly so in Grihastashrama because we have the wherewithal to do it. The first one of the Pancha Mahayajna is called Deva Yajnaha. Deva Yajnaha is a sincere prayer to our to Ishvara or our favorite Ishta Devata. And here we are expected to pray for the entire humanity. In Uttama Karmani, when you are doing Deva Yajnaha, you are not praying for your family. You are supposed to pray for the entire world. Loka Samasta, basically. Swasti Pradapya Paripalayantam Yanena Margena Mahim Mahishah Go Brahman Evya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Even if we don't tell the first three sentences, it's fine. The last one, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, should be remembered in our daily prayers. When in the morning or evening, whenever we pray, we are expected to pray this and from the bottom of our heart. Because if we are small-minded and pray for our own family, that doesn't come under Uttama Karmani. Uttama Karmani or Sattvika Karmani is for the entire world. And this can be in any language and it should be included as part of the daily prayer. So, the Sankalpa for our Ishta Devata prayer must be Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. A sincere, heartfelt, deep prayer. That's all, which is a very powerful contribution which will help not only the entire humanity but also the animals and plants which go beyond even the terrestrial plane. It goes to all the 14 lokas. This is what our scriptures say about Deva Yajnaha. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve badrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukkha bhagvavet, om shanti shanti shanti. So, may all become happy. Let all be free from illness. That's the kind of prayer that we pray in Deva Yajnaha. Now the second Pancha Mahayajnaha is Pitru Yajnaha, expressing gratitude to all the ancestors. This also includes looking after parents while living. It also includes performance of all the ceremonies, Antishti, Kasi Rameshwara, Gaya Shraddha, etc. Now you have to do all of these. Now, very often we all have a doubt saying, oh, this is only for our ancestors, so how will it reach others, etc. Now, the Shastra says that, strangely as Swamiji puts it, there is a ancestral relief fund, which is a common fund, where when we do the Shraddhams and, you know, when we do any Pitrukaryam, this whatever we do gets into that fund and it is distributed across all ancestors. To a certain extent, you can experience this when you actually have the opportunity to watch someone do Gaya Shraddham or you yourself are involved in doing a Gaya Shraddham. if you see there, this the verse there, Esham na pita na brata na bandur nanya gotrinaha, te sarve triptimayantu mayatyakte kushastilaihi. Now, during Ammavasa Tarpanam, as well as during the Gayashtardam, it's a very, very nice way of remembering not only our own, you know, mother, father, grandparents, etc., for whom there is a finite number of pindam that is given, but we also have the practice of calling very strangely even some dogs or, you know, cats that we would have, you know, had in the house. Those pets we remember and we give pindam. We also give pindam to people who have worked for us and maybe they died without their own offspring, etc. So the rites are so beautiful that if we understand and do this, we are able to appreciate this much better. So even for the orphans who have had nobody, you know, to give this last rites, final rites, in Gaya, we can include all of them and give. So in short, Pitra Yajnaha actually has two parts in terms of contribution. One is to our direct ancestors and the other one goes to a kind of common fund because Agni is kind of the Deva courier, right? So the Agni Devata is able to take it to the right people. So that is Pitri Yajnaha, which is the second one. The third one is Brahma Yajnaha, right? And in Brahma Yajnaha, we express gratitude to the rishis. This is very, very important because the rishis do not expect anything from us. Only thing they expect is preservation and propagation of this wonderful teaching of the scriptures, right? So loud chanting can help purify the creation itself. The regular parayanam is Brahma Yajna. Not only chanting, we should also teach. So adhyayanam, adhyapanam, etc. And it is very important that the teaching is systematic and not, you know, sporadic, right? That is the difference between teaching and preaching. In the case of preaching, you can have sporadic lectures on different subjects, whereas in teaching, you go through, it's exactly like your class. There is a curriculum, you start out at a point and you end at another point, and there are, you keep on building topic on topic, you clarify doubts, right? At a particular stage in time, when the student has absorbed enough, they can ask questions and they can actually respectfully disagree with the teacher. There is a way by which they can put forth. They can also take yukti and anubhava support, that is logic and experience support, and systematically the teaching is presented, right? And contribution towards the propagation and maintenance of the scriptures is Brahma Yajna, right? And there are lots of teachers in the parampara who have contributed to this, right? Like apart from Shankaracharya, Sureshwaracharya, Vidyaranya, etc., the more recent acharyas like Swami Chinmayananda, Swami Dayananda Saraswati, Swami Paramarthananda, all of them are contributing in the preserving of the scriptures and also teaching the scriptures. Now, in the Gita, Krishna emphatically says, whoever teaches Bhagavad Gita, I love him the most. He makes that statement, right? And all of this constitutes Brahma Yajna. So, Brahma Yajna is basically contribution towards propagation and maintenance of the scriptures. The fourth one is Manushya Yajnaha. Now, this includes all forms of social service to fellow human beings. It can be teaching, it can be helping the economically backward, it can be helping the old people, it can also be helping orphanages, right? Any of these. Now, we don't have to speak too much about this for the simple reason that Manushya Yajna is something which is very commonly seen in this particular time. In this generation, we see a lot of Manushya Yajna. The problem now is people consider that Manushya Yajna can replace all the four yajnas. That is actually the problem. Manushya Yajna is one of the five yajnas. It cannot replace the other four. That is something that we need to remember. And when we are contributing, we make sure that we contribute in all the areas, right? Now, the fifth one of the Panchamaha Yajna is Bhuta Yajnaha. All forms of contribution to other creations comes under Bhuta Yajnaha. Now, trees, rivers, animals, birds, right? There are so many environment related, you know, protection projects, water bodies, cleanup projects, protection of trees, prevention of misuse of the environment. All this comes under Bhuta Yajnaha. On a daily basis, the Hindu way of life also provides for this, right? Now, we have ways by which, you know, we put kolam with, you know, rice powder, rangoli with rice powder. The reason why we do this is so that some insects need not go hungry, like the ants can come and have that and go. We also have we used to have a practice of feeding the cows in the morning, then, you know, pouring water to plants, to tulsi leaves, etc. All of this constitutes service to the environment. Now, if you see, that is a, this is a very, very nice shloka indicating the importance or the reverence that we, you know, give to the nature. Now, this is from Mangalashtakam, which is attributed to Kalidasa. Ashwatto vatavriksha chandanataru mandara kalpadrumau jambu nimba kadamba chuta taralaha vrikshashya ekshirinaha sarve te phalasamyutaha pratidinam vibrajamana shubaha ramyam taitraratam chandanavanam kurvantuno mangalam. So basically we are saying, let all the trees, right, adorned with fruits, which are, you know, giving us fruits in plentiful every day, let them all do well and do all that is good for us. And similarly, you have another stanza which is on the rivers. Ganga, Sindhu, Saraswati, Yamuna, Godavari, Narmada, Kaveri, Sarayur, Mahendra, Tanaya, Charmanvati, Vedika, Shipra, Vetravati, Mahasura Nadi, Khyata, Chaya, Gandaki, Purna, Purna Jalaha, Samudra Sahitaha, Kurvantuno, Mangalam. We pray that the rivers, right, inclusive of, you know, Kaveri, Sarayu, Vedic River, Charmavati, Kshipra, Vetravati, the great river of the gods and the famous Gandaki, may all these filled with water along with the ocean do all that is good to us. This is from Mangalashtakam, which is attributed to Mahakavi Kalidasa. This just indicates that, you know, we should show reverence to nature. In fact, even in the morning while having a bath, we pray to the rivers, right? And we also show reverence during all our festivals, if you see, to nature, whether it is plants, animals or trees. So these are all the five Pancha Mahayajna, as we call them, right? So we started with Deva Yajna, then we said Pitru Yajna, then we did Brahma Yajna, then we did Manushya Yajnaha, and last we did Bhuta Yajnaha. So these five become the Pancha Maha Yajnaha. Now these five constitute Uttama Karmani, right? Now the Madhyama Karmani, I'm not going to spend too much time because they are referred to as Rajasa Karmani, and I think all of us would be familiar with it because praying for one's own family, me, my family, my wife, my children, and saying, praying in return for something. For instance, say, give me this, I'll give you this. Give me so much profits, I'll give you so much to Venkatachalapati, right? Let my son be happy, I'll give this. Let my daughter get married, I'll come and do Kalyanam for you. All of this is Madhyama Karmani. Now, we are not saying that you can stop this totally because we are in Grihastha Ashrama, but the better thing would be to pray with a noble thought of Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu, because our family is also included in the Loka, right? So Madhyama Karmani is the one that, you know, is more towards the one's own family and praying in return for something which is not actually very much promoted. We are supposed to move over a period of time as we mature from Madhyama Karmani to Uttama Karmani, or at least increase the proportion. Now the last one which is really prohibited is Adhama Karmani. Prohibited actions, corrupt actions, destructive actions in which I benefit by doing something harmful to others, right? Now, this is really something that we must avoid because it can lead to retrogression or spiritual fall. Now, a normal person may be having some of these, but a person on a spiritual journey definitely has to avoid adhama karmani, right? Now, uttama karma help in two ways for spiritual growth. First is spiritual growth, and it also neutralizes the papa born out of inevitable suna or unavoidable papam. Now, suna is something that is unavoidable. Example is, now you might use Bagon spray, some insects may get, they may die. You may use mosquito repellent, mosquito sprays, etc. So, they are some of the unavoidable papams for which it will get neutralized by our indulging in uttama karma. So, as a true karma yogi, what is the aim? Our aim is to change the proportion of uttama karmani, madhyama karmani and adhama karmani so that we will become more conscious and slowly move towards majority of our karmani being uttama karmani. Now, we spoke till now about proper action, right? Now, we are going to speak about proper attitude, right? Now, every karma is processed by the universal laws and it returns as phalam. We will see about law of karma in a subsequent topic, say 3 or 4 classes away or maybe even 6 classes away. Now, every karma is processed by that universal law and it returns as karma phalam. Therefore, every action becomes an offering to the Lord, right? Ishwararpanam. And the result or phalam becomes Ishwara Prasadaha. Now, the Prasada is something very, very sacred, right? Now, when you get a Prasada in a temple, what do? We never reject anything. We don't even question it, right? Whether it is a vibhuti or it has some pebbles in it or whatever, or it may be really tasty, it may not be tasty. Prasada is sacred. Never to be criticized and it has to be received with a sense of fulfillment. So thus, while I am working on the karma, I should have Ishwara Arpana Bhavana and while receiving the result, I should have Prasada Bhavana, right? So this is called Yogaha, right? When I have these two bhavanas, I enjoy an equanimous mind. Samatvam Yoga Uchyate, in Gita you will see in the second chapter that this Lord Krishna speaks about an equanimous mind which is a result of proper Karma Yoga. Because I am enthusiastic in every action that I do, there is no dullness, there is no drudgery, there is no boredom because every action I am offering to the Lord. I don't hate any action, I love everything I do because it is an offering to God. I accept all experience in life because they are Ishwara Prasada, which will lead to Samatvam. So, Samatva Bhavana is the result of Ishwara Arpana and Prasada Bhavana. So, these two put together will lead to very, very fast spiritual growth, which we call as Chitta Shuddhi. I'm introducing more and more Sanskrit terms because we need to get familiar with them, right? So, we learned about the 3 yajnas for the proper action. We learned about 5 yajnas, right? We learned about 3 types of karmas. And now, in the attitude, we are seeing Ishwara Arpanam and Ishwara Prasada resulting in the Ishwara Arpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana put together results in our mind having Samatvam, which will lead to spiritual growth, which is called Chitta Shuddhi. Right? Now, in Gita, we see this in stanza 47 of the second chapter, which is a very, very famous shloka. Karmanye vadika raste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahetubhu ma te sangostva karmani. Now, this is exactly what we just discussed about Ishwara Arpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana. You have a choice over action alone, never over the results. So, may you not be motivated by the results of the action, may you not have an inclination towards inaction. This is very, very useful in your work life and your career because you enjoy the work that you do because you learn. Even in office, you can extend this. Just like you extend it to the you know, your daily prayers and whatever you do in ritual, even in office, if you have the same bhavana, you do your work with full commitment and motivation without being unduly worried about the result or the final phalam. Because of which the stress comes down and you develop an equanimous mind. So, Chitta Shuddhi is, I understand that all my problems in life are not caused by the world. It is caused by my wrong handling of the world. Because of ignorance, I handle the world wrongly. Therefore, I suffer, right? If I become that wise eye and I know how to handle the world, then world becomes a Nandanavanam, right? So, if I know how to handle, right, the world, I have only control on how best I can do an action, but the results can be either way, favorable or unfavorable. When I understand this and work with a Isharapana Bhavana, I become the wise eye, I know how to handle the world. So, the ignorant eye is the problem, while the wise eye is the solution. And this diagnosis is the result of Karma Yoga, which is otherwise called Chitta Shuddhi, right? So, Chitta Shuddhi is the diagnosis which results from Karma Yoga, right? And what happens is, we actually start seeing Chitta Shuddhi working as we start indulging more and more in Panchamaha Yajna plus Karma Yoga with Ishwararpana Bhavana and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana. The direct result can be experienced in what Swamiji calls FIR reduction. Okay? Yes, standing for the frequency of emotional disturbance will start coming down. The intensity of emotional disturbance will start coming down. The recovery period after an emotional disturbance will come down. In any situation, you will have FIR reduction as you progress in Panchamahayajna and in your spiritual journey. So, a test for your own self, an internal test is, if you write a Vedantic diary today and then look at it, say, 5 years from now, 4 years from now, after sincerely practicing this Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana, the direct result is FIR reduction, frequency, intensity and recovery period of an emotional disturbance and an increase in what he calls triple C, calmness, cheerfulness and confidence. These three will definitely improve as we progress in our spiritual journey. Right? Now, in Gita 248, the same thing has been talked about. Yogastaha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga yuchyate. O Arjuna, abiding in yoga, giving up attachment and remaining the same in success and failure, perform the actions, right? So, as I said, calmness, cheerfulness and confidence is the direct result of Karma Yoga, right? Let me just introduce Upasana Yoga, which is the next topic, and I will definitely stop for questions in 5 to 10 minutes from now, okay? Topic 6 is Upasana Yoga. But I don't think I'll be able to complete it and I don't want to rush through this. So I will just introduce this and we will see a few subtopics in Upasana Yoga. Right? Now, what is Upasana Yoga? Now, Shankaracharya sometimes calls this Samadhi Yoga. Right? A program to make our personality fit for the accomplishment of the Purushartha. Now, till now in Karma Yoga, what did we speak about? We spoke about actions, we spoke about attitude. The beauty of our scriptures is that it is so integrated that everything comes together in our scriptures and it is presented so well. So, Upasana Yoga is that part of the yoga that takes care of the personality, makes sure that the personality is fit for the accomplishment of the purushartha. Purushartha yogyata sampadanartham. Just as we say, you know, a car should be roadworthy, a ship must be seaworthy, an aircraft must be certainly airworthy. We've been, you know, we see that, right? Similarly, the human personality also must be purushartha worthy, because the entire life journey is nothing but a journey to accomplish these goals. So, if we have to accomplish the purusharthas, we must make sure that we have a personality which is ready, just like a vehicle. In fact, in the Kathopanishad, our very personality is compared to a vehicle for reaching the goal, right? And just as a vehicle should be in fit condition for traveling and successfully reaching the goal, our personality also must be in fit condition, right? So, in fact, a particular section of the Kathopanishad is dedicated to personality conditioning program, and the Upanishad says that only such people can attain the goal of life. Tadvishno paramam padam. So, Upasana Yoga is a personality conditioning, integrating, toning and organizing program. Right? So, as I said, it's a scheme to make our personality fit for accomplishing all the four goals. Now, our scriptures divide our personality into several layers for facility of handling and understanding. Panchakosha, Shariratrayam, etc. Now, we are going to see Shariratrayam, Panchakosha and all the minute we enter Tattva Bodha. That will be another two classes from now. But here what we are going to see is three aspects that we have to carefully look at and condition is Kayikam, Vachikam and Manasam. Okay? That is the body, what we speak and the mind, right? The first layer of our personality is Kayikam, right? From the standpoint of the physical body, we have a personality and we will call it Kayikamsha, right? Then the second aspect of our personality is Vachikam, because we have a very highly developed organ of speech unlike the animals, and therefore our organ of speech not only indicates our personality, but it also influences our personality. Our speech is not a product of just our personality, but it is also an influencer of our personality. And therefore, Vachika Amsha has to be carefully taken care of. And finally comes our Manasa Amsha, our psychological personality, which is the subtlest and most important and extremely difficult to handle also, but which we cannot ignore. And therefore, our scriptures take into account all these three layers of personality, and they also prescribe programs for conditioning these layers, right? And we will take up one by one. Now, the first one is the Kayika physical personality. There are so many prayers for health, right? We say, we talk about Arogya, Aishwarya, all of that, and then we also say Aroga Dridagartha Sampatyam. We say that we should have a kind of prayer. It is also there in the spiritual part of the Veda, that is Veda Antabhaga, as the Shanti Pata, right? So you will see that we have diets prescribed. We also have all these shlokas, and in the Veda Antabhaga, you also have equal importance, right? Not only in the Veda Purva Bhaga, where we obviously have the sankalpas, in the Veda Antabhaga also, there is enough focus on physical personality. In fact, every Upanishad, in every Veda, has a Shanti Pata according to the Veda. And here, I put up an example, right? Which is nothing but the Shanti Pata from Atharvana Veda, right? It starts like this. I'm not going to chant fully. Let me just start. It says, Om, Om Badram Karne Vishnu Yama Devaha Badram Pashe Matejat. So it goes like this. It's a Shanti Pata from Mundaka Upanishad, and it is the first part of the Upanishad itself. When we start the Upanishad, we definitely tell the Shanti Pata, and the meaning of the Shanti Pata is, O God, May we hear auspicious things with the ears, O God. May we see auspicious things with eyes, glorifying you through the Vedas. With healthy limbs, may we enjoy our full life allotted by the Lord. The only difference between the Veda Purva Bhaga and the Veda Anta Bhaga is, there we are asking for Dharmartha Kama as the goal, and here in the Shantipata, we are asking for good health, because the teacher and me, we both have to learn this together and understand the scriptural studies, which is a very, very long period of time, and we must make sure that we are able to hear well, see well, everything. So this is a prayer for that. So this is for the physical personality, which is otherwise called Kaika, right? Next is the Vachika, the personality, Vachika Amsha of the body, right? Otherwise also referred to as Vak Tapas, right? This is also considered extremely important. Shankaracharya in his Viveka Chudamani points out, right? Pratamam Dwaram Vang Nirodho Parigraha, right? That means what he is saying is the first step of spiritual Nirodha, verbal conditioning, speech discipline. So what do you mean by speech discipline, right? There are four parameters that we talk about, and in Gita there is these four factors mentioned, right? Now if you are Krishna says watch four parameters once you have taken care of your physical personality, and the four parameters are, right, Satyam, right? No, the first one is not Satyam, the first one is Anudvegakaram Vakyam. Make sure you do not hurt others. That's the first one, right? Whatever you speak, you should not hurt others when you are speaking, even if it is a truth, right? So if you do not want somebody to speak to you in a particular way, you make sure that you do not speak to them that way. That's the first one. Anudvegakaram Vakyam. Make sure you do not hurt others. Satyam. Second one. Sensitize the mind to untruth, right? Now, if the mind is made sufficiently sensitive, we will understand that the so-called unavoidable lies are really speaking avoidable lies only, right? Now, what is unavoidable lie for a gross mind will become avoidable lie for a sensitive mind. And after sensitizing the mind, if there are still unavoidable lies, we have methods of neutralizing such necessary evils by prayachittam, right? So what, as you start sensitizing your mind to, you know, untruth, you will start seeing that there were lot of things that you could have avoided, lot of lies that you could have avoided early on, right? So therefore, satyam becomes very, very important for a spiritual seeker. The third one is priyam. Speech must be pleasant, right? In terms of decibels, right? We generally have the habit of talking aloud, and also some people have the bad, you know, language usage. So we're not supposed to use inauspicious, cursing words. We should not even scold our children using, you know, monkey, donkey, etc. It is not correct, right? Amangala Shabdam, in terms of whether it is animal name or bad name, so whatever it is, we should not, you know, use that in our speech, and we should also speak in a pleasant way, right? And whenever we talk, we must make sure that when we replay it and listen to it, we are not embarrassed because of having spoken that way, right? So the third one is priyam, and fourth one is hitam. Whatever is good to the listener, we should speak only that. We have to check whether whatever we are speaking is good to the listener. In fact, I think as you get more and more sattvika, you tend to listen more and you tend to speak less, right? And when you start filtering your speech through the four parameters that I just mentioned, anudvega, karam, vakyam, satyam, priyam and hitam, you will actually find that there is very little left to speak, and you can actually use that time better in focusing on sattvika things, right? Of course, when you are in active work life, you will have opportunities or, you know, reason enough to speak more. But still, if we can practice, you know, filtering our talk through these four parameters, it will help us progress on a spiritual journey. The third one, third aspect is Manasa. Now, you might be wondering why I started with Upasana Yoga and then spoke about the Kayikamsham and Vachikamsham. Now, the important point is the mental conditioning can never come, right, without taking care of your physical as well as your verbal, you know, the aspects. It is very, very important because you can also see that when you're angry, right? When you're angry, you start speaking faster, right? There's always, and your physical body trembles. This connection is quite a bit, right? So therefore, when you have to embark on a mental conditioning program, which is say all forms of meditations come under mental conditioning programs, primarily Upasana means mental conditioning, you will have to take care of physical and verbal disciplines. And we have to take care of our Ahara Niyama also. What we eat, what kind of food we eat. In fact, in Gita, this is being dealt with in great detail, right? So, mental conditioning requires physical conditioning as well as verbal conditioning. This is very, very important, right? And meditation is actually of four types based on the type of discipline and the aspect or focus. Okay, there are four types of meditation, right? And we will be seeing the four types of meditation in detail, right? And actually there are five. The first one is Vedantic meditation. The first one is relaxation meditation. The second one is concentration meditation. The third one is expansion meditation. And the fourth one is value meditation, right? These four help us in our journey towards the Vedantic meditation or the one that will actually help us practice Nididhyasanam, which we will see when we come to the subject of Jnana Yoga, right? Now, I'm going to get into the details of meditation only in the next class, but just to summarize, I just wanted to make sure that since I've covered a lot, I don't make a, you know, I don't leave you with totally without knowing what I covered. I started with Karma Yoga, right? And in Karma Yoga, we looked at Uttama Karmani, Madhyama Karmani, and Adhama Karmani. And I also said that we must work towards increasing the proportion of Uttama Karmani. Then in Uttama Karmani, we saw Panchamaha Yajnaha, which was Deva Yajnaha, Pitru Yajnaha, Brahma Yajnaha, Manushya Yajnaha, and Bhuta Yajnaha. So these were the Panchamaha Yajnas that we saw, right? And then we also looked at why we should reduce Madhyama Karmani, which is a Rajasic Karmani, which is, you know, selfish kind of prayer, or what Swamiji says, business bhakti, right? And the third one being Adhama Karmani. And we also said proper action and proper attitudes both constitute Karma Yoga. So we said we must work with Ishwara Prasada Bhavana and Ishwara Arpana Bhavana, which will lead to equanimity of the mind, Samatvam. And this in itself will cause spiritual growth, which is Chitta Shuddhi. And I also mentioned that the result of a Chitta Shuddhi or our own progress can be measured by measuring FIR and CCC. FIR being frequency, intensity, recovery period after an emotional disturbance, and CCC being calmness, cheerfulness and confidence. So before and after, we can look at it if we are able to maintain a diary, is what I said, right? And then we moved on to Upasana Yoga, where we saw the three aspects of the personality, which is Kayikam, Vachikam and Manasam, right? And then we looked at why physical personality and verbal conditioning was important, even as a prerequisite for mental conditioning. And I said that Manasa aspect or mental conditioning is nothing but the meditation, and it is of four types. And I said we will look at the details of the meditation, because if I start now, I can't complete that in 10 minutes. So we will do that in the next session along with Jnana Yoga. Just before Jnana Yoga, we will do a quick recap of this and then we will go on to doing that. Soumya, we can take questions.
There are actually three questions today so far. So if others have questions, please do type in and send them so that she'll answer them. The first question is, how is the division of the Vedas into karma, jnana and upasana related to the Pancha Mahayagna?
Okay. Now, Pancha Mahayagna is part of Uttama Karmani, as I mentioned, as part of Karma Yoga, right? Now, Karma Yoga itself is a stepping stone to Jnana Yoga, right? So, if you see the Bhagavad Gita covers Karma Yoga in detail as a stepping stone to Jnana Yoga, right? So, the Pancha Mahayagna is part of the Karma Yoga and which is covered in the Gita. And Gita has actually summarized Veda, Veda Antabhaga and Veda Purva Bhaga as relevant for the spiritual journey.
How do emotions play a role in Karma Yoga?
Okay. Now, as you start out on this journey of Karma Yoga, what happens is, as I said, exactly FIR, right? Now, when you are, say, a junior student, you can see that anything that you do, right, whether it's prayer or you have a, you know, a vrata or a fasting, you are more working towards, because that's how we've been taught in childhood, right? Saying that, okay, you have exams, you pray for that, or you have something, you pray for that. So, you're more anxious about the results that you get after the prayer. But what happens is, slowly, as you start progressing in your spiritual journey, the emotions itself start getting, more and more refined. And it's not that you don't get angry, or you don't have upheavals, or, you know, I'm not saying anger is the only emotional disturbance. It can be fear, it can be anxiety, it can be anything. You will find that the first thing that improves is the recovery period. You're able to come out of a problem or come out of that anxiety quickly. And after some time, you will see that it improves. On the whole, you will see that your F, I and R improve. Frequency, intensity, as well as recovery period. And also, as I said, you will be more and more cheerful.
Okay. So, there is a next question to please explain the FIR, frequency, intensity.
Okay. I think by now, you must have understood this. Suppose take the example of anger. Okay, let me take anger as an example. You have a situation in the house where you're not able to control the outcome and you're really, really very, very angry. Right? Now, the first thing is, if say during the day, 10 times you are getting angry. Okay? First thing is, and your body, your physically you are reacting and then your verbally you are reacting, you will see that your physical reaction comes down. You're able to calmly address even that anger, right? And they, over a period of time, you will see that the anger itself doesn't manifest physically or verbally. You're able to control your response and then respond peacefully, although you have this anger. So basically, from a time when you have more number of times when you get angry, it will come down to lesser time, lesser intensity, right? As well as quickly rebounding and moving on with your other work. You will see these changes happening as you progress on the, because when I'm saying spiritual journey, we are also going to go through Jnana Yoga. We are also going to be going through Upasana Yoga, which is meditation, which we will be seeing in the next class. All these put together will definitely have an effect on the FIR.
Okay.
Next one.
How do the Ishwararpana and Ishwara Prasada attitudes aid individually in each of the fivefold yajnas?
Okay. Actually, if you see Ishwar Arpana Bhava, in all of them, for instance, this is a very good question, in fact, because I think I missed telling this. Now, when you do Sankalpam in the house during any of the prayers, say take Deva Yajna or take Pitri Yajna also, right? Both of these. When you are doing a ritual in the house, the general Sankalpa in the Grihastha Ashrama is, you know, Ayur Arogya Aishwaryam, or, you know, for the Kutumbam, you just want everybody to be good, you pray like that, right? Now, this is the normal Sankalpam, which we call Sakama Bhakti, right? We will see Sakama Bhakti, which is praying specifically for the improvement of your lot, the family, etc. Now, when you have Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava, your Sankalpam in the mind, we need not bother about explaining this to the priests who come home, etc. We don't have to make a, you know, big show out of this. In our mind, right? If we say that this is for Loka Kshayam, it is for Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, in our mind if we say that, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, and this I am undertaking for the benefit of everybody, and then you do the, you know, the Namaskaram or the rituals or the offerings, and whatever you say in your mind that I am doing to the best of my ability, the results, whatever you give God, give me the mental strength to accept whether it is positive or negative. This is the kind of prayer that you start off with. And the best part is, when you have Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana, the rituals and the rigor that is associated with the rituals is not as much as what you do in the case of the Sakama Bhakti, that is where you are praying for specifically for results. Because the way the Purva Bhaga is extremely rigid on the rituals. It will tell you if you have to do things this way, you have to do things only that way, because it is also promising you a result. But it doesn't mean that if you do it as per all of this, you will get that result, because you always have that probability that there is some adrishta, that is not known karma working, which may not give you that result that you have undertaken to achieve.
Where can I get the details for the meditation type?
I'm going to be I'm going to be covering this in the next class, and once I cover that, I will be talking about it. Once I cover that, I can point you to Swamiji's lectures. He is generally, what he does is, before chapter 6 of the Gita, he spends time on meditation, but you do have a guided meditation series. You can buy that and you can practice on your own, because it's a 15 to 20 minute meditation which you slowly develop, and it's very beautiful. The methodically it is undertaken from relaxation to value. We will cover that in the next class, and after that I will also give you the details of where it can be purchased, etc. No, those don't come under Jnana Yoga. They come obviously under your preparation for, you know, any of these, whether it's Kayika or Manasamsha or any of these. Yoga itself in general, all of yoga helps in a preparatory discipline for any of these three, these four yogas, whether it is Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga or Upasana Yoga. Shruti discusses in almost all the Upanishads. I haven't seen, I haven't come across a single Upanishad which doesn't discuss this. In every Upanishad, path to moksha is discussed. Maybe I can put some references there, but you can actually look for it. Every Upanishad starting from Mundaka Upanishad has the path to moksha. That's the answer.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, the is really high.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's clear as I did.
Okay.
And then what mommy said,
what I will request people to do is, if they can, you know, put down their questions and if it can come in the Excel sheet, I will definitely respond to each of the questions. And in the next class, I will also try to cover if it is, you know, a common question, a general question. I'll do that. Let me now just go to Poorna Mother, because I think I didn't do that. Right? Let me complete that also. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.